Welcome, and thank you for streaming this sermon. At Heritage Baptist Church, we believe that the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus can truly change lives. So it is our hope and prayer that this service stirs up your affection for Christ and helps you to draw closer to Him. For more information, please visit hbchaslett.org.
To bring her words. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy. Again, just a great day yesterday at the ordination of Brother Latta, and hope that you'll be in prayer for him. And we did record that. I don't know if we left it on the website or not. If you can go back and look at it, it is. All right, so you could go watch it if you would like to. And appreciative of all the preachers who took their time. Normally, you invite about 7 or 8 or 9 preachers to come to an ordination council, and we invited 8. And thinking usually there are 2 or so that cannot make it. Well, all of them made it. We had a full council yesterday, and it was terrific. And so appreciative of Brother Hampton coming all the way from Maryland. And being in the ordination council yesterday and preaching for us this morning. And he started the church in Maryland, Hagerstown, Maryland, where Brother Latta grew up. And pastored there for 35 years. And I enjoyed hearing him speak this morning. I just love to hear someone of his stature and of great things God has done for him and for that ministry. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1 again. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We pray, God, that you'd be with me as I preach tonight. Lord, just help my mind and to be focused. I pray you to hide me behind the cross. Lord, may we again look forward to that blessed hope of your return. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to review all these, or we would be here again a long time. And so we do want to kind of finish up with the words tonight. And this is, again, getting the context for our theme verse. That's what we do every year. And so this year we're doing a little later than normal. But we're getting the context of the verse, which is verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So the title of these messages, this is the third one, is that we should continue in the last days. We are living in the last days. And Paul writes young Timothy and says to him, hey, here's a description. Here's what describes the morality of the people in the last days, the morals of people in the last days. And we've already been through a lot of them, and we're coming to the word there, false accusers, in verse 3. We covered last week, without natural affection, truce breakers. And so again, I don't want to go back and cover all these. You can go back and watch them if you would like to, or go back and listen to them. But we know in the last days, Paul says there, in verse 3, that there will be people who are deceitful. We're living in a day of deceitful people, truce breakers. And then false accusers is where we're starting at tonight. False accusers. False accuser basically means slanderer. It means by innuendo or lying. It's along the same lines as deceit. And do we not see this today? More so than ever. Perjury in the courts, slander outside the courts, using slander, listen to this, using slander, lies, and innuendo to destroy the lives of others. Let's do that one again. Hang on. Using slander, lies, and innuendo to destroy the lives of people, to destroy their lives. And we've seen this in my own life, and seen this politically today. I mean, just saying anything and everything to destroy the other politician and the other person. But it's not just politicians doing this. We see this in our own lives. We see it often. people just false accusers. We know that this happened in Jesus' life. And we should be people of integrity, amen? Honest. The second word there is incontinent. It means a lack of control. It means having no power over oneself. It means being without control over one's person. We see today a lot of people who lack control of their person. They lack control of their person. People today, a vast majority of people today, make no effort to restrain themselves. And we've already talked about that, parents not restraining their kids. We live in a day where drugs and drunkenness and adultery and homosexuality and abortion run rampant. And by the way, we've known this is my third sermon. This is kind of, this is rough, right? We're going to get to some more positive stuff later down the road, but drugs, alcohol, all these things today are no longer done in secret, but are openly flaunted. Just openly flaunting immorality today. And it's celebrated. It's celebrated, condoned, and even endorsed as an alternative lifestyle. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but it's good to be reminded, hey, the Bible says this is a sin. And we should call it that. I every time I hear on the radio this advertisement of a particular clinic that calls drunkenness a disease. Drunkenness is not a disease. It's a sin. You can control it. Again, we think about drugs and these type of things. Again, and we know that the Bible speaks about lay aside every sin and the weight and the sin that so easily beset you. Everybody has a besetting sin. Everybody has a bend towards a particular sin, or maybe multiple sins. In other words, I'll use the illustration that not everybody who drinks will become an alcoholic or a drunkard, right? Some can drink and drink socially and be fine, and some drink and they become drunkards. They have that bent towards that. By the way, you don't know which one you are. And even more so than that, you don't know which one your kids are. So you're going to drink in front of your kids. Your kids are going to think it's okay. They're going to drink. And guess what? Though you didn't become a drunkard, they may become a drunkard. And then you'll be responsible for it. Yeah, absolutely. You live that lifestyle in front of them. Oh, I just drink at Christmas. I just drink it. You know, well, again, your kid becomes a drunkard. It's on your head. You may handle it socially. Though I believe the Bible says that we're not supposed to look upon the wine when it turns red. The Bible is absolutely for to abstain from drinking, period. No social drinking, no drinking at all. Drugs, alcohol, man, the destruction they cause. And in you purchasing that stuff, you're part of that destruction. You're part of destroying lives, marriages and families, little kids hiding under tables, little kids being closed in a closet, locked in a closet because their dad's a drunkard. And you're buying it. And you're supporting it. Shame on you as a Christian. Shame on you. My mother was locked in a closet by her dad. And yelling and pistols going off. My mother suffered for it all her life because of a drunkard. My great-grandfather ran over by a drunk driver. All of us would have similar stories. And yet Christians support it by buying it. Boy, may we wake up. Wake up. Incontinent, not able to control oneself. And again, many of these things now are openly flaunted and celebrated. A lack of control of physical appetites. The flesh is taking over. Again, Paul's speaking about in the last days, these things will be, the majority of people will be this way. The majority of people will be this way. And I would say to you that the majority are that way today. If it feels good, do it, right? That's the mentality that's been taught since I was a little kid by the secular world. If it feels good, do it. You only have one life, live it up. We live in that society today. The just Christian morals and Bible morals are mocked and derided. And we are called bigoted. and our speech is called Hate Speech. And I could go on and on and on to paint a picture for you that you already know. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You already watch Fox News. You know what's going on. But may we never be a part of it. God's standards are right. And I'm going to use this word. God's standards are just. They're fair. God's standards are good for you. He puts some standards in place. He puts some things in place to protect you from yourself. He did those things for your good. God always has your best interests in mind. And when He puts down rules that we shouldn't do, and when He puts down rules of the things we should do, He does so that we, for our good. For our good. Biblical morality is good. Not only for you, but for society. Society as a whole functions so much better underneath the biblical standard of morality. We see that because we can go back in history and we can see that it does. We must stand for biblical morality. How do you do that? Again, we've been saying lately, pray, absolutely. Pray. Pray as if everything depends upon God, but work as if everything depends upon you. And by that I mean vote. Stand up. Say something. Christians have been too silent too long. Say something. Write your congressman. Learn who your state representative is. Back to the state representative for the church is going to be speaking here in a couple of weeks. I'm just now beginning to learn about state senators and things like that. I'm not all that familiar, but I'm learning. I want to learn. And I think the lady's name is Johnson, who's the state senator here in this area. And I want to learn. I appreciate Brother Wagner and others who have some insight. I want to learn who they are. I want to support them. I want to pray for them, but I want to support them with my finances. And it may be $25. I'm not talking about giving them $1 million. But you ought to back it up with your money. You ought to back it up with your money. Vote. Vote. Stand. And again, as Christians, we ought to be kind and gracious. Preach the truth in love. We can disagree without being disagreeable, but we shouldn't back down either. We should stand for truth and for right. Listen, we can hate someone's sin and not hate them. That's a misnomer that if we hate their sin, that we hate them. Easy way to illustrate that. If you're talking to somebody who begins to call you a hate monger and all these divisive words, and you say to them, well, I don't like some of the things my children do, but I still love them. I may not like what you do, and I may disagree with what you do, but I can still love you. I can still be kind if you were to break down the side of the road and you were to call me, and though you may be a homosexual or you may be a drunkard or whatever the case is, you call me, I'll come help you change the tire. Amen? But to love them, be kind to those who are living in sin and are living that lifestyle, not condone the sin. I'm not coming to your wedding if you're homosexual. I don't care who you are. My child, a cousin, an aunt, an uncle. I'm not going to condone what you're doing, but I'll certainly love you and help you when you need help. And pray for those bakers and florists who our government is persecuting because they're standing up for their religious freedom and religious rights. Love the individual. You don't have to love their lifestyle. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be kind. Gracious. They can be fierce all they want. That's the next word. But let us return that fierceness with kindness and graciousness. That word fierce means untamed. It means savage and wild. We see this going on today. And this is even more so than the liberal stuff going on today. This really has more to do with what we're seeing with terrorists and what we're seeing with the drug cartel, just cutting people up and hacking people and doing gross atrocities, just terrible things with no pity. We're living in a day of the 9/11 attacks and all the things we see. An untamed and ruthless people. I put down there beasts. No better than beasts. Next word, the next phrase is despisers of those that are good. This is an easy one. I think it explains itself. Despisers of those that are good. We think again about Christians and trying to live a moral life. People who are trying to live a good life. and people who try to live. And again, we know in times past, not everybody's a Christian, and not everybody in America has been a Christian, right? But if you go back in times past, most people were moral people. Some of you, and I know some of your testimonies, some of you were not raised in a Christian home, but you were raised in a moral home. Even when Dick Webster was here talking about being raised in a moral home, of course, now he was into drugs and all those things, but his parents were moral people. They didn't go to church, but they were moral people. America, for the most part, used to be made up of people who were Christians, but also moral people. Today, if you try to live a good life, for the most part, you are mocked. I'll never forget, and I use this illustration a lot, and some of you have been around a while, know about my brother. And my brother, absolutely in high school, lived a godly life. He looked totally nerdish. That didn't help him at all. Little, 5 foot 10 or 11, 125 pounds, maybe. He may not have weighed that much. Just kind of slinky. He was a nerd. He looked like a nerd. By the way, that's not even a disparaging comment today to be called a nerd. That's like success, and yeah, here we go. So I'm going to clarify the word nerd, all right? Anyway, so he got picked on a lot, and he was smaller, and he was bullied. And I could go into that one, too. I'm not going to. And they called him Dippy Dan the Holy Man throughout high school. Called him Dippy Dan the Holy Man. Wore it as a badge of courage, right? And today, though, society is made up of lots of people like that. When you're at work and you're trying to do right, when you're living right with your neighbors and you're trying to do right, and they just make fun of you. Why don't you drink? Why don't you? Teenagers, right? I know some of you who go to the Christian school here are protected, but don't. I'm not naive to think that some of the kids in Christian school are not exactly Christian. Amen? And there's always going to be peer pressure. But may we be reminded that we are living in the last days. In the last days, Paul said to Timothy, hey, they are going to mock and make fun of good people. People who try to live right and do right and to raise their children right. And they don't drink and they don't chew and they don't go with girls that do. Are going to be disdained. That's what despisers means, disdained. The ideal of being good is ridiculed today. May we buck the trend and live good lives. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. Amen? All right, let's move on. Traitors, it means untrustworthy. Again, I'm not going to take time. That explains itself. Judas was a traitor. And I think we would know a lot of Fox News reporting on various spies and things going on today by the Russians and whatever. But traitors, those who are not trustworthy. Secondly, are the next one, heady. It means those who are reckless, who are headstrong. The word literally means falling forward headlong. It is associated with those who will not listen to wise counsel. And associated for those who are just looking for trouble. Those who are heady are reckless, headstrong, don't care what anybody says or anybody counsels them, and they just want trouble. They're just looking for a fight. Heady. High-minded means insolent. I had to look that word up. It means rude and arrogant. It means lack of respect. A lack of respect. High-minded, a lack of respect for others. We've covered some of that already in some of the other words, but lack of respect for others. Well, we see that today, don't we? Was a day when you said Mr. and Mrs. and you respected people and respected. I so much enjoyed, again, Brother Hampton this morning, respecting not only his position and what he's accomplished and how God's used him, but respecting his age as well. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And I appreciate those in our church. And just being respectful. There was a day in which, in fact, if you just go back early in my ministry, I can remember going amongst individuals who would never cuss in front of a preacher. Never. Just respected the position. Not necessarily even the person, just respected the position. And that's not true today at all. I know that's a very small thing, but we see that trend in all areas of society today. A lack of respect. Kids lacking respect for their teachers, and parents lacking respect for their kids' teachers, and on and on and on and on and on. And I'm depressing everybody. Next, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is, again, one that's very evident. In fact, evident tonight. I'm not mad at anybody. And this is Memorial Day. Or not Memorial. This is, I think that's Columbus Day on Monday, right? Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. He didn't discover America, everybody. All right? We just figured that out. But he was a good man. And you ought to go back and do some reading on him. And he shouldn't be thrown out of the... Anyway. Did it surprise y'all that he didn't... Did I just ruin some of y'all's history? He didn't discover America? Y'all, everybody good? Okay, I'm just... Brother Leper, am I okay with that one? Okay, all right. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Again, Sunday used to be set aside as the Lord's Day. It was a day set aside when stores would close and people had off, and church was priority. Family was priority on that day. I remember, I'm just going to say 1990-ish, in the big city of Bowie, Texas. City of 5,000, just 60 miles north of here, where I was raised. On any given Sunday in the late 80s, even all the 80s, probably very early 90s, there were 9 or 10 Baptist churches in that town, still are. Anyway. And of that 5,000 people, there would be 2,500 of those in a Baptist church. And I know that implicitly. That's exactly what happened. 2,500, half that city on a typical Sunday morning in the late 70s, 80s, early 90s would have been in a Baptist church. Not so today. I don't think it's 1,000 today. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And God is no longer put first. And I know Brother Webster did a great job preaching on that, that God needs to be first in our lives. He needs to, again, I use that phrase, it's a Warren Wiersbe phrase, that God needs to be on the throne of your heart. He needs to sit on the throne, not you, not your kids, not your spouse, not your job, not sports. Not sports, but God needs to sit on the throne. He ought to dictate what we do and so forth. Pleasure seeking is the norm today, even among Christians. And again, evident tonight, as many are home tonight watching some guys in these helmets running around throwing stuff at each other. And I do enjoy. I watch football, and I enjoy it, but I certainly don't enjoy it to the extent that I would miss church for it, ever. I would never, and I've lived this in my life with my kids, and I've been that example, I believe. My kids were never allowed to play sports during church, ever. Practices, sports. We told Hassett Sports Association, and I knew all the people who were over it. My kids are growing up. Sorry, my kids won't be there. I would tell, as soon as they picked my child, and the coach said, hey, we're having practice on Wednesday night. I said, that coach, my kids won't practice on Wednesday night. They won't be there. And then my kids were pretty athletic. So sometimes they would change it. In fact, a lot of times they did. They would like to have my child there. I remember many, many, many times. We went through one season, the baseball season, where it just rained every Saturday and every week. And so they needed to do some makeup games. Guess what they did? They wanted to do makeup games on Sunday night. I said to... I could name names. I said, my kids won't be there. My kids won't play during church. God's first. Sports are not. And I know we use sports, but that's what we're most familiar with. And it seems today that that is what has just become a god to people. Not only with themselves, but with their kids. If all the Christians in the Metroplex would stand up and not play on Sunday... I'm telling you, there's enough Christians, by far enough Christians in the Metroplex to shut all the sports stations down. But, you know, somebody's got to start it. Encourage you young couples to take a stand. Your kids won't hate you for it. I don't think mine do. Amen. This is rough, isn't it? Pleasure seeking is the norm. Sports and lakes and outings and recreation all have first place. May we as Christians be careful. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't have time away. I know there's some of our families gone this weekend and today because of the day off tomorrow as well. And you need time away. But I want to remind you that when you're away on a Sunday, you should be in church somewhere. I've been in Mexico a couple times on Sunday. And in fact, a couple of those times I was with my dad. And we went to a little old church that I wouldn't agree with. You know, everything. Their music wasn't what I liked. And certainly didn't, you know, but you know what? The pastor stood up and he preached good. It was a bilingual service and we enjoyed it. I wanted to be in church on Sunday morning upon the first day of the week. Amen? And if you hunt on a Sunday, you have to tithe part of that meat to the church. So keep that in mind too. If I was out and about on a Sunday hunting, I'd make sure I was in one service on Sunday. One of those services. May we put God first. And then along with this is many attending church. It's amazing, even in these last days, we see a lot of churches, people in them, right? But so many uncommitted. And may we be committed followers of Jesus Christ. Being here just on a Sunday morning, and now I'm preaching to the choir, being here just on a Sunday morning does not make you a committed Christian. But may we be committed Christians. I appreciate our core group in this church. I'm thankful the core group has grown here in the last 18 months. I love many of you who've come along and joined the church, who come to every service, and have come out and started helping and and watching them helping the Fall Fest and many of the other activities we have. It's a blessing. Our Sunday night crowds have really been way up, and it's just amazing. We don't talk a lot about the numbers on Sunday night, but they've been way up. Maybe not tonight, but they've been way up. No, it's good. They've been way up. We need committed followers of Jesus if we're going to accomplish His work and get the job done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put God first. It should be first. He gave all for us. Amen? And we should give our all to Him. Our life, our time. And we should be, as we've already preached when we were preaching on being thankful, we ought to be thankful to Him and love Him. Timothy, Paul saying to young Timothy, continue. Dangerous times are coming, Timothy. Continue. And can I tell you, dangerous times are here. We're living. I know when I was a kid, my preacher preached that we're living in the last days, but you can see the progression in the last 30 years. You can see it. Very evident. And unless a revival takes place, it's just going to continue to progress that way. Again, the hope for America is not the politicians. You know, we say that a lot. Hope of America is Jesus Christ. Hope of America is a revival. And may we continue to pray for revival. But may we continue these last days. Right? He's talking to young Timothy. He's telling young Timothy, continue. Continue and don't associate with these things. Don't be a part of these things. Understanding 2 Timothy 3:12, just a few verses down, that yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you're going to live godly, if you're going to try to do right as a teenager, listen, you're going to suffer some persecution. And I want to remind you, though, the persecution we suffer here is so minute and small compared to the Christians in the Middle East. I mean, they're losing their life for it. China has cracked down now, and they're killing Christians as well. It's just, it's amazing to me how that many of the liberal groups and those who would pander to socialists and communists don't even care that they're killing people all over, killing Christians. Our persecution is small and minute, but it's still real. Sticks and stones may hurt my bones and words will never hurt me is not true. Words hurt worse many times. I can't remember hardly any of the spankings I got growing up, but I can remember a few words that were said. Yes, absolutely. I remember the words more than I remember the spankings. Words do hurt. So I'm not discounting the persecution. And when you're mocked and when you're made fun of because as a teenager or as an adult, it's serious stuff. And though we go on and we should continue, it does hurt. But may we continue to stand up and to live right and do right. And don't allow these moral attributes that we've just been over to be a part of your life. Don't allow them to be a part of your life at all. I put down here, we're living in strange days. We really are. Living in just strange days, dangerous days. It's signs that we are living in the last days. May we be reminded that we should rely on God's power. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you that will enable you through His grace to live a good life, to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus in these last days. Rely upon His grace. Be strong in the grace. I preached that yesterday out of Timothy. Be strong in His grace. Rely upon the grace of God. The grace of God that saved you is the grace of God you should live by. The power that was given at salvation, the grace by which you were saved, is the same power that you live on and should be living on every day as we walk with the Lord. And we should rely upon the power of God. We should remember the purpose of God. God has a purpose. And God has a purpose for everything that comes into your life, whether it be a trial and whether it be a testing, whether it be a detour in your life, or whether it be persecution. And in those areas, He says, hey, be steadfast and unmovable. Always abound in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May we trust in His purpose. May we trust in His people. One of the great things about having church and having a church family is being able to rely upon our fellow Christians. Amen? To rely upon our church family, that when we do have health problems and we do have financial problems and we do have relational problems, that not only we can go to God, but we can go to our church family and rely upon them to help and to care and to be a blessing to them. We ought to be able to rely upon our church family. Amen? And that's just a good reminder for us to be careful and watch out for our fellow. We're to love one another. We're to be kind to one another. We're to encourage one another. And I love that one. We're to put up with each other. I love that one. Forbear is the word. Forbear. Anyway, it means to put up with each other. I put up with a lot of things from my brother. I'm talking about my biological brother, who's 4 years older than me. He was mean when he treated me bad growing up. He beat me up till I got bigger than him. Then that didn't happen no more. But still put up with him, right? We put up with our family, and we ought to forbear one another. We ought to provoke one another. You see a family member or a fellow Christian who's not doing right, you ought to provoke them. You ought to try to help them and encourage them to live right and do right. Again, rely upon the people of God. Rely upon His presence. He said He'll never forsake you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. He's not very far from any of us. And then rely upon His promise. Look up, for your Redeemer draweth nigh. I'm looking forward to the blessed hope, aren't you? I'm looking forward to His return. And all this negative we've preached the last 3 weeks, and all the things we've talked about concerning the world and our country, is mute. Because what it does for us, it should wake us up and say, you know what? Jesus is soon to return. Man, if all this stuff is going on, and as in the days of Noah and the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, and we see these things going on, you know what that means? It means Jesus is coming back soon. Maybe night or noon. He's going to meet us here. I'm looking forward to the day. But until He comes, until He returns, may we live and walk in the steps of Jesus Christ. May we follow in His steps. May we imitate the life of Jesus. And may others see Jesus in us. Timothy, continue. And I would say tonight, remember, continue. Continue in these last days. Heritage Baptist Church, we have a great and vast and an open opportunity to reach a large amount of people. And may we be good stewards of that. And whether it's the Fall Fest or it's Roundup Sunday coming up this Sunday, may we take every opportunity to invite our neighbor to church. May we take every opportunity to invite our coworkers to church. Listen, He's coming again. He's coming again. People are dying, going to hell. They need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. And if you're shy and it's hard for you to explain to somebody, bring them to church. We'll explain it to them. Invite them to church. They'll hear the preaching of the gospel. Pray they get saved. Let's all stand. Hymn 155, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Hymn 155. After we pray. Heavenly Father, again, what a blessing it is to know that you're soon to return. Lord, may we look forward, anticipating the blessed hope. Lord, may it encourage us to live a godly life every day. May we be that light in front of those whom we associate with, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers. Lord, through your Spirit, will you enable us to walk in the steps of Jesus, to follow him. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of our church and staff, thank you for listening to this sermon. For more sermons and more information about our church, please visit hbchazlett.org.